Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
What's the matter, Jeremy?
Oh, it's just that I'm trying to decide on my Christmas list.
Well, what do you want?
I want equality and peace and everyone to have the same opportunities.
All right, I'm going to donate all the money I'm going to spend on your presents to Her Film Project.
What?
Yes, they are an organisation that helps make films for people from underrepresented groups, all right?
But No, hang on.
Yes, that's what you want. That's what we all want. Everyone to have equal representation in society, all right? Her Film Project on Twitter, herfilmproject.com. Look it up. Follow. Do all that. Look, Jeremy, I've got to go. I've got to do this. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Film Fandango. What is this? It is a film podcast. Of course it is. What makes this different from your film podcast? Nothing, really. It's just me, the host, Marek Larwood, in a room talking with a guest. It was David Reed, but he's gone off and had a baby. And he doesn't really reply to my texts much anymore. Who's that in the background? It's my friend and a lover of film who's watched more films than me for quite a long time and who's one of the people whose opinion I respect on film. That's right,
Thank
it's
you.
Beth Ainsley.
Hello,
Beth.
Hello.
You were a long time listener of the show, aren't you?
I am, actually.
Unlucky.
Longer term friend and long term listener.
Yes. And in the background, you might be able to hear a washing machine.
Sorry.
No, that just adds to the reality of it. It makes us sound like, or maybe...
My beautiful laundrette.
No, let's make out that it's a spaceship. It's a spaceship rocket.
Okay.
You can hear in the background. It's quite nice going to visit different people because you get different acoustics. I think the listeners are probably imagining how high the ceilings are from the acoustics.
Better than the stupid dog.
Yeah, have a guess. Now, how high do you think the ceilings are? I'd say they're approximately 12 foot.
Yeah, I think that's about right.
Sort of a modest church size. So, Beth, we went to the BFI of all places.
Yeah.
I've only ever been there to see one film before.
Which was?
The superhero Brett Goldstein one. I've forgotten what it's called.
Super Bob.
So... I thought it would be ram-packed, but it's quite classy, isn't it, BFI?
Yeah, I think this was a bit lowbrow for it.
Really?
A bit too indie, yeah, I think so.
How often do you go to BFI?
Quite a bit, maybe 6 times a month.
What? Are you a member?
Yeah.
How much does that cost?
About 40 quid.
Do you, in your wallet... Do you put your BFI card close to the top so people will see and go, BFI?
No, I never do. But it is good for cheap drinks.
And I bet there's less talking than in normal cinemas.
There's no talking, no eating, some drinking. It's a bit snobby, but I do like it.
But there was talking in the preview we went to see, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was. There was some dick behind us.
And I was about to do a look around, and you did the look around.
I did
the disapproving look around, and I thought, brilliant.
I'm a big advocate of that, actually. I think it's okay to say to somebody, excuse me, please.
How would you, what is your But you're quite polite, though, so it comes out probably quite nice.
Yeah, I think it's okay to be nice, but people do find it very confrontational. I went to a film the other week, and I spoke to them, and I said, please, can you stop this? And then they just talked back and talked back.
You said, hang on, you said, please, can you stop this?
Can you stop talking, please? It was quite a spooky film, and it was like they were spooking me out by talking. They were just getting hammered on red wine. And eventually I said, please, you're ruining the film for everybody. And then they said, oh, and then other people started joining in. And I was like, well, why didn't anyone else say anything?
Because they joined in with you?
Yeah, saying, yeah, you should go. And then they got a round of applause as they left.
They actually left?
They left, yeah. But they were hammered.
What was the film?
It was called The Belko Experiment. Do you know it?
No.
It's a bit Hunger Games-y or...
Battle Royale,
yeah.
Is it Japanese?
No, it's American. Cheap American. I think probably Blumhouse. I think it was. You know, the guy who makes all those cheap films.
No, I don't know him.
There's this office block and they all get locked inside and they have to start killing people and only sort of 10 people can get out.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good premise. It's fine.
Is that been released on general release?
Yeah. So they made it really cheaply and then just...
One location, that's the key.
Yeah, yeah.
Just get an old office block. I did a similar thing to you where... You say you were, when I was on the bus and some kids were doing graffiti. Have I told this story before?
No.
I was on the 41 from Crouch End to Archway. This is approximately 12 years ago. So I was 28. A formidable figure physically, yes, at that time. And I was sitting on the second but one seat at the back. And these school kids got on. There were about 8 of them. And they started graffitiing on the side of the bus.
With what?
Pens. And I thought...
Tagging.
Yeah, and I said, "Which thing you'll?" I said, first of all, obviously, I changed my voice slightly to make it. Which thing you're doing? and they went, oh, and they stopped and paused. So I had the upper hand, and then one of them piped up, "Oh, what's the matter to you?" And I said something like, "Well," and it was the worst answer I could possibly say. I said, "Well, if you do that, it's going to mean that someone's going to have to come and clean up, and that's going to put bus fares up for everyone." And I could see the moment I said that. I instantly lost all the respect. And then I got off the bus and they all started clapping and chanting, fuck off you fat slaphead. And everyone on the bus, the other 6 people, just looked, as I walked down this parade of shame on the top flight of the bus, they looked out the window. And I thought, you know, I need to start... going to the gym and then let people express themselves artistically.
No wonder you don't stop people in the cinema anymore.
I do stop people.
You do?
I actually shone my Apple light on people's faces. I want some kids' faces. And I was there by myself.
Well, so that's a bit much.
Yeah.
They're
about 14, 15, not like 7 or 8 year olds. That would have been really creepy. But 14, 15. And if you're there by yourself, you think, I mean, imagine my shadow, bald man. Weird man.
I think the light's quite bright as well.
Right in their eyes. They shut their pants.
What was the film?
It was something at the Muswell Hill Odeon. And it must have been something that 14, 15 year olds were... I can't remember what it was.
And something at the Odeon.
Was it Interstellar?
Ooh. Yeah, that's not... and entertaining enough.
Yeah, and that's the sort of thing that they might have been. Might have been something like that. Mm. Anyway, go back and listen to the last 50 years of podcasts and you'll probably hear about the incident. Anyway, we went to go and see Brigsby Bear.
Brigsby Bear.
Well, can you explain what happened in Brigsby Bear while I sip my drink, please? Thank you.
I have thought about this, Merrick, and I don't know how much to say because I feel
it's quite key.
It's hard to sort of... You don't want to ruin it. I went in not knowing anything about it, which I think was the best.
I saw a trailer.
Yeah, and how much did the trailer tell you?
In the trailer, they do spoiler.
Yeah.
It's a bit like Room.
Yeah.
And they spoil that in the trailer, really, as well.
Yeah.
Okay. So, do you want me to spoil it?
No, I really don't think you should.
Well, what's the basic setup at the start of it then?
Okay, so there's a man who is isolated from the world for a reason, lives with his mum and dad, and he has a love of a TV show called Brigsby Bear, and he then. I don't know where to go, really.
He loves, he's obsessed with his TV show and lives in this sort of almost weird regime, sort of cult regime. And he, every day he used to look forward to Brigsby Bear, this which arrives each week, a new episode. And he's got a room full of tapes of this programme. Brigsby Bear is sort of very much like Teddy Ruxpin, if you remember that. And he is this sort of teaches this sort of moralistic tales. A bit like at the end, I mean, this show's made my He-Man, where they give you the lesson for the week that, oh, do you know what?
Yeah.
Don't get your dick out in front of other kids and stuff like that, but not that. I mean, more, be nice
like
to
Sesame
each other.
Street or anything. Oh, they were all had morals, didn't they?
Preaching bullshit.
Yeah.
And then this world changes, as anyone with any knowledge of films will be able to imagine how. It's more about the feel of the film, isn't it? It's a sort of, they're a group, the bloke, this is what's great about the BFI, that you pointed out, they give you, there's a sheet of paper from Sight and Sound at the end of
the notes, yeah.
And Sight and Sound, I've not read Sight and Sound, when I did my English degree, I did a module on film, and Linda Williams, who is Mark Kermode's wife, name drop, taught that course. Anyway, she used to bang on about Sight and Sound, which is the real filmy film.
BFI's magazine, yeah.
Is it the BFI's magazine? Yeah. And I think when I've not read anything from Sight and Sound until I read that bit, that sheet of paper, I was quite impressed by the reading.
Yeah, really good.
And every film they've got a Sight and Sound.
Yeah, it's amazing.
That's really great.
Yeah, I love it. All the old ones, they go back into the archives and they pull out an article and they sometimes do what people thought about it then and what people think about it now, and it's really great.
I think it's a brilliant idea to be able to read up on different opinions and see that. And I like the way they list all...
Cast and crew are listed.
rather than just the director. I had my piece of paper, but I've lost it somewhere. But I think that every cinema should do that, Sight and Sound, paper. I've got it here.
Whoa!
I've got it here, and it's a bit mucky because...
Much loved.
I spent the last 4 days working in the snow, putting up a fence with my little brother, and this blew out into the snowy field. I chased it. And that fleck of mud, listen, so you can imagine a crumpled bit of paper with a fleck of what looks like mud on it, which is in actual fact probably sheep shit, which is a dull smell that permeates your nose, and is, you can just almost taste it like an off wine at the back of your throat. If you want to imagine that, imagine that. But in the freezing cold, it changes. But that's the taste of, if you want to get into farming, get used to that. So this is, did you know about, I'm referring to it now, normally I'm on my phone, but
I knew absolutely nothing about it. I saw it in the programme and it had a nice image, which was of Brigsby Bear, the head. And I thought, yeah, fine, I'll see that.
Did you know about who is it, Carl Mooney, who directed
it? Carl Mooney, no, he was the main guy in it and he co-wrote it. I'd seen a couple of his sketches before. He was in a sketch group before he was in Saturday Night Live, so I'd seen a couple of those, but I wouldn't have recognised him from there. He was so good, wasn't he?
He reminded me very much of Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah, there's definitely a Napoleon, because I think that's a really idiosyncratic character that just really stands out, so you kind of love the character as much as the...
But even facially, he looks like him.
Yeah.
With the sort of glasses and the sort of weird...
Hair.
Everything about his... almost, even the way he moved was not as pronounced as Napoleon Dynamite, but very similar sort
of
look.
Yeah, there's a sort of love of the... Sorry, I hope this isn't mean to say, but love of the dweeb, sort of like total embracing of that sort of person. And I also just thought it was such a lovely, warm film. There was no judgment to it. It was just delightful.
It's
I
a
got
real
quite
geek,
into it.
It's a real sort of geek... If you like sort of 80s geek stuff, you would love this film, I think.
And it's about filmmaking as well, so it's got that thing. So if you're watching it as someone who likes watching films, you'd like... Yes. It's kind of got that Be Kind, Rewind, or... Me and Earl and the Dying Girl. I know you watched that because I heard you talk about
it. I think I probably slagged off, didn't I?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I did slag it off.
It's a bit Sundance-y. They're a little bit sort of overly twee and everything's got a kind of moral and a happy ending. But I just thought, I didn't really care. There were moments where I thought, and then I just was like, I don't give a shit. It's so lovely.
Being a really amateurish, I mean, pre-amateur filmmaker...
You.
I find it amazing. Yeah, I make YouTube videos. How they make stuff. When the film's about filmmaking and they make stuff really, really... There's always a guy who's the expert. It's like, yeah, I'll just CGI that amazing thing in the background. I mean, if you try to do that...
His mate in it.
Yeah.
So good.
Do you think?
Yeah, the black guy. He was incredible.
Yeah, I thought...
You didn't... That friendship
I thought it was all a bit... He was the main character... Mark Hamill plays his dad, and it's weird how Mark Hamill's become cool now. He's a sort of Renaissance Star Wars bloke.
He was in the wilderness for a long time.
30 years.
He could not catch a break, and now look at him.
He did a weird sci-fi...
He did The Joker.
Yeah, but he did a weird sci-fi called Slipstream. You ever see Slipstream?
No.
I think it was post-Return of the Jedi. Sort of low-budget film where he plays a bad guy in it. And then he disappeared, and now... He must be milking it.
Oh, yeah. I just looked at photos of...
Star Wars Return of the Dickhead. The premiere, what is it called? Jedi? Dead Jedi?
Last Jedi. Something like that.
Oh, it just feels like it's just front... Just the calendar's become these... Oh, December. Every 2 years, Star Wars. And in between, another Star Wars thing. And I got the brochure... from a picture house, and I looked through and I thought, it just feels as though that these big movie-making behemoths are just churning out these franchise films, which are, then was like, oh, we'll do that in December, that's in November, and there's no room for anyone else.
Well, it's kind of static as well, isn't it? So we're kind of stuck in this loop, which is exactly what Brigsby Bear is about. It's about nostalgia and not being able to get over your childhood. And he's obsessed with it and has to kind of recreate it in order to move on. And we are also stuck in this sort of arrested development period where we're just wanting to live forever as 14-year-old kids and have that wonder that you first felt when you went to the cinema.
And why is that, do you think? That realisation that people don't really... Is it because there's been no... World War to cripple us and turn us into sort of...
into men. Oh, God. That's like a really bleak... I mean, I do think, yeah, we're probably a bit safe now, aren't we?
A lot of people are going to love this film. It's going to be a cult film. That was a problem for me. It felt...
What, Brigsby Bear?
I think so. I think it'd be a cult thing. People go, oh, we love Brigsby Bear. But I don't know if it was trying... If it was, in a weird way, aware that it was this cult film.
I think it was a very self-conscious film, yeah. I think it was very aware of itself.
That's what I meant to say, self-conscious.
No. I mean, you...
Well, I tend to say things that other people say in one sentence in about 5 to 6 sentences. And that's what people like about this podcast.
I thought you did brilliantly. I think... I don't know if you've read any other reviews of it, have you?
No, have you read reviews of it?
Yeah, people hate it.
You're joking?
They absolutely hate it, yeah. I think you and I had a really nice experience watching it, and it was totally up our street. And Peter Bradshaw was like, me, 2 stars.
Peter Bradshaw gave it 2 stars?
Yeah.
Peter Bradshaw is a total prick. I saw him in Crouch End the other day. He gave Mother 5 stars. He gave something that was really great, I can't remember what it was, 1 star when it was a 5-star film. Peter Bradshaw should be stripped of his... He should have his fingers cut off so he can't type any of his bullshit anymore. I know he's going to listen to this, but I think he saw me in the street and I gave him a dirty look. I think the way he's lauded as his critic, where he just jumps on anything
like
that wants himself off.
Mark Kermode.
Yeah. I think I really enjoyed Brigsby Bear. I've been quite harsh because it's almost a great film. I don't know if you got to watch it, but listeners might be aware that American Movie is my favourite documentary of all time.
Yeah, I watched it. Marek bought it for me this week.
Because I wanted to talk about it in relation to this film.
Yeah.
Because it's almost like having film... This is about filmmakers. And the problem is, when you watch real... I don't think you can ever replicate the true geekiness and dweebiness...
Oh, my God.
...of Mark Borchardt.
Unbelievable.
And all the other characters in it. Are just his, from his mum to his uncle to the other actor, dude with the beret. are so great that it's rich without having to do anything. What did you think of American Movie?
Well, it's incredibly tragic and hilarious to watch. It's such a brilliant film. It's a documentary from, what year was it,
1989. A documentary about a filmmaker, which I felt this, that Brigsby Bears, a bit of a homage to Teddy Ruxpin / American Movie. And that feels like the amalgamation of those two things is what Brigsby Bear is. So if you like American Movie and if you like Teddy Ruxpin, you're in for a treat. Did you like American Movie?
I did. I liked it a lot. I really loved it. And particularly the fact that he goes back to make this short film to fund his feature film.
Coven. And he doesn't even pronounce it.
He can't pronounce it. And somebody mentions to him at one point, oh, it's pronounced coven. And he goes, no. Coven, it rhymes with oven.
Yeah. So he pronounces, the whole film was pronounced coven.
Coven. Oh, and, it's lovely.
Mike Shank, his best friend, who's overdosed on mushrooms, yeah, is one of the greatest people in the whole world.
Brilliant monologue about his mushrooms, wasn't it? Really good.
Please, if you want to watch a film about filmmaking, if you like Brigsby Bear, watch American Movie.
$4.99
or on iTunes. It's,
you can probably steal it.
Don't steal it. Give them the money.
It won Best Audience Award at Sundance that year.
Did you think it was like Brigsby Bear then?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like you say, it's that kind of Napoleon Dynamite-esque world. So those characters from Napoleon Dynamite that you almost can't believe are real, but then they're in this documentary and you realise, oh, America's so huge and it's diverse. It's diverse.
Do you find yourself
crazy people
getting more into documentaries rather than films as you get older?
Yeah, I really, really like documentaries. Yeah. It's when I go to a film festival, that's a pretentious thing to say.
No, because say it's a bloody film. It's a bloody highbrow film podcast.
If I went to Sundance London, which I really enjoy and definitely recommend, or to the London Film Festival, I think it's always about documentaries, definitely. I just think...
What? Why?
Because they're harder to come by and they get curated brilliantly and then they put them into these tiny little places, and it's a great place to see them because there just aren't that many and they don't get released. The other thing is Storyville.
Oh, Storyville is brilliant.
Great. Everybody, just set it on your box.
So Brigsby Bear, I mean, we sort of beat you around the bush because we don't want to spoil it. We normally do. How many bests do you give it?
I would give it 8.
Yeah, I thought I was going to give it an 8, and I think I may have gone down to 7.5.
Okay.
8, because I just think it knows it's a cult film.
But I really laughed at it, and I loved watching it with you, and I have such fond memories of it.
I think I'll give it an 8. If people are slagging it off, I feel like I should defend it.
Yeah.
Because I thought it would be the other way around. People go, oh, this is really, really cool. But there's no way that's a 2-star film.
To be fair, I have just read Peter Bradshaw's. I mean, I haven't read others.
But Peter Bradshaw.
Yeah.
I just think he's shit.
He is. No. He's alright.
Alright then. Well, Brigsby Bear. I definitely think it's worth... I don't know how big a release it's going to get. And at Christmas, I think Star Wars is probably going to dominate every single screen. But it's a film that will be a perfect Sunday night viewing, evening viewing on Netflix, when it will probably come out on one of the film streaming services in 3 to 4 months. Is there anything else you want to say about Brigsby Bear?
No, just I recommend it.
Alright, it's time for this. Here's the letter section. It's pretty sparse because people have stopped writing in, despite my pleas from last week. But you'll be pleased to hear that Richard S. has written in on the subject of In the Pisser, which I don't know if you know was the game show that Christopher Dodd talked about, talking to people post-film at the urinal. Anyway, here we go. Dear American guest, that's you.
Thank you.
Congratulations on the new format. I welcome the replacement of Daddy Reed with a ramshackle parade of doll scroungers, losers and your old school friends.
Thank you.
To today's guest accepted. I'm writing in to comment on the proposed In the Pisser section of your show. Great idea from Chris the Piss Dodd, good nickname. But I would like to suggest one or two improvements to enhance the post-movie piss. Perhaps pissers could grade the movie they've just enjoyed by giving on a rating on a scale based on fractions of a litre of human piss. For example, perhaps you and your guests could play the roles. I mean, we'd be in different toilets for a start.
That is disappointing.
Good after. Here's a scenario. Oh, how about we read this bit together, Beth?
All right.
I'll read the first bit here and you can read the other bit here. Good afternoon. Having a piss, are you?
That's right, yes. You?
Yes, I'm pissing too. What did you make of Kingsman, The Golden Circle? I give it 72 centilitres of human piss. Look.
Oh, yes, I see. I wasn't so keen. Maybe 45 centilitres of human piss.
Bit of a dribble.
Why can't they make films like they used to? Citizen Kane, 4 pints of human piss. The African Queen, 2 60-gallon drums of human piss. At the premiere of The Force Awakens, we were chin-deep in human piss down here.
Are you looking forward to The Bumming Man?
Yes. We can meet afterwards here in the gentleman's toilet and award our piss volumes.
Oh, yes, it's a date. Bye.
Bye. Ooh, you missed it.
Oh, thanks, Richard S. I mean, that was made really weird by the fact that you were pissing at the urinal. Sorry. And I didn't commentate on it. That is very 21st century. I think there should be a rating system in the toilets, though. You could give a button on. That'd be really good.
Yeah, like a
board.
Ten.
You could put your. I mean, basically, but then you'd have you'd press a button and people would just actually be holding and touching their dicks. And then touching the button.
I don't know how that sort of thing works, but I assume.
Yeah, I mean, there's a hygiene thing.
What
maybe
about
it could be done vocally?
Pissed onto a rating.
Yeah, but then.
Pissed up a height.
Once you start getting blokes to sort of piss everywhere, then you just then it's going to be really, really bad. Oh, here we go. Here's another one. It's from Christopher Dodd, the aforementioned Christopher Dodd. Jeff Bridges, American sexy guest. We hope.
Yes.
Oh, blimey.
Thank you, Chris.
Have you noticed that Jeff Bridges has been doing the same voice in his films for the last 10 years? He has this droll Texan twang to his voice,
yeah,
which is really hard to make out, and it's the same for every character he plays. I've attached an audio file to make my point. This isn't Jeff Bridges in the audio file, boy. It's me doing Jeff Bridges. I will download that and play that in.
My name is Jeff Bridges, and I do the same voice every time in every film that I'm in. A slow Texan sound, but it's hard to hear. And I do it for all the films I'm in these days. And I call this acting.
He does do that. I've not noticed
God,
that.
God, I
does
love
do that.
This guy. He's amazing.
Christopher Dodd, he's been a legend. have you noticed that?
I have noticed that. I do still love him.
It's the Big Lebowski sort of thing, is that?
Yeah, it's he's found his thing and he's going for it. He makes some absolute shit still, but I do really like him.
It's quite weird when you see young Jeff Bridges breast. What's the one of the man who failed to not the man who he plays an alien, doesn't
yeah,
it? Starman.
Yeah. It's great.
It's weird seeing him young and
Tron.
Handsome. Tron.
Oh, what's that? The last picture show.
Yeah. I've seen bits of that. Anyway, thank you. I mean,
Can I just say,
yes,
he was incredibly beautiful. I still think he's really charismatic, but my God, he was gorgeous. It's like young Harrison Ford.
Yes, he was.
Like a proper movie star.
Very young. Harrison Ford before Star Wars.
Ooh.
So you see him in The Conversation?
No.
Very young and very much like Ryan Gosling, my boyfriend.
Yeah, Harrison Ford would definitely be.
Yeah, lots of kisses.
Yeah.
All right, that's the letters. Please write in because I literally have only got one. Right, it's time for this section. We're going to find out about the guests, what things they like and other bits. We ask them questions about films. Here are the questions coming up. Well, Beth, you'll be pleased to hear that people have written in. This is from Dan Rogers. We're going to the IMDb game. I'm out, because you're always a few weeks behind with letters. I suppose I should wish you a happy Christmas and a Merry New Year. Or is it Merry Christmas and Happy New Year? Or Happy Valentine's Day, maybe? Anyway, we're not here to talk about calendars. You asked for feedback on the new format. I like the five questions at the end. I don't like the IMDb game. Unless you want people to watch The Godfather trilogy, they will always have rubbish scores. Obviously, you missed David, but you're doing a great job on your own. You're watching the films, Darren. So the IMDb game's gone. Did you want to say what your number was anyway?
I have seen The Godfather trilogy, so...
Yours would be quite high, I reckon.
It's not, because I fall down where you fall... You
Chaplin.
Fell down, yeah.
And the shit Japanese stuff.
No. What's the shit Japanese stuff?
Princess Mononoke and all that stuff.
I'm with you. We should go to the cinema together more.
Well, thank you, Darren. So we will go straight to the quiz section. Everyone looks forward to it, especially because of this music.
Film quiz. Trivia questions. Facts. Other things. Interesting. Yes.
Right, well, I've prepared this for you, Beth, and it's particularly difficult.
It's a taxing one.
So, similar themes to usual. It is film releases, who is older, real names, who was originally cast in something, and translations.
Love that
so
one. That's
my
favourite.
Which would you like to have first?
I'd like to do it in that order, please.
Okay, that's good, because it's the order it's written down. Who is the oldest? Christopher Walken or Robert De Niro?
Ooh.
Very difficult.
And I assume they're only a few months apart.
Yeah, very good assumption, Beth. Very good assumption. I mean, I thought of these two, and I thought, this is very difficult. It's just a potluck.
Yeah, it's 50-50.
And it's 2.5 you need to get to beat Simon Fielder.
I won't drag it out. I'll say Walken.
Well, Christopher Walken was born on March the 31st, 1943, making him 57 plus. 74. Is that 74 years old? Who knows?
Did you say 43?
1943,
wow.
Yeah. Robert De Niro was also born in 1943, but not until August the 17th. You've got one blooming point.
Simon, I'm going to whip your ass.
Well, here we go. We're on to releases now. And this is rip. These are more difficult music because they're closer. So here are two 80s classics, which was released in the UK. I'm going by UK release dates, which is the same as America. The Goonies or Teen Wolf.
The Goonies
was released on 29th of November. Do you want to guess what year?
Nope.
Have a guess what year.
83.
85.
Mm-hmm.
Teen Wolf, 24th of January. 86.
Yes.
You are on 4 marks. How are you doing at home? Are you doing as well? Why not write in and tell us what scores you got and how much you enjoyed the quiz. Oh yeah, I forgot to do this. And if you do want to write in, how do you do that? You go to... Beth?
I don't know.
Phil Fandango.
Hang on.
I'm leaving that in. philfandango.co.uk. Click on contact or whatever at the button that sounds relevant. Or email dearphilfandango@gmail.com. Write your letter, I'll read it out. If you think, do you know what? I could buy my children Christmas presents, but I'd rather give Marek money to keep helping him go to the cinema and pay for the chariot that he needs to drive himself to and back from the cinema. And if I don't, horses will die. Do you want that on your conscience? No. Donate on the website. All your money immediately. Thank you very much for anyone who has. I think about you, not in a sexual way, but in like, I really want to be their friends. And I bet they're nice people in real life. They're nice. Anyway, let's get back to the quiz. His real name is William Pitt. Like Pitt, the
Elder.
Prime Minister, yeah. But it's also the name of a film star. Who is it?
I just think it's too obvious to go for the Pitt route, isn't
it? Is it a trick question or isn't it?
Is it a trick question? William?
William Pitt.
Speak to me.
What are you going to go for?
Billy. Somebody. Oh, fine. Brad.
Going Brad Pitt?
Oh.
You are correct.
Oh!
Yeah, I thought the answers were so hard, I thought I might get you on the Prime Minister thing. His middle name is Brad.
Mm.
Right. Beth, I mean, this is incredible. You're on 4 marks
Bradley.
Here. Everyone at home is... You're listening to history in the making, possibly. Right. The film is The Predator. Who was originally cast as the Predator? And they spent 2 days being the Predator before they realised it wasn't for them and they left. And they were replaced by a basketball player, an ex-basketball player. Who was the body of the Predator? In the background, the I don't know if you can hear, but the washing machines went to a frenzy. And just make it really building up the tension. After people hear this, they all use washing machines to for tense moments in films.
Kurt Russell.
Kurt Russell. He wanted to go for someone athletic to play the Predator.
Oh.
Because it's in him in the suit. It was Jean-Claude Van Damme.
No way.
Yeah. And now he's doing... So when you think of him
good
in those
fact.
Coors Ice adverts doing those things, imagine that in a Predator
with
costume.
His legs split.
I mean, you're doing so well.
I know. I'm sorry about that.
Okay. This is a German translation of the film. The German name, I'll also give you the translation as well.
Thank you.
Is Die ist Prinzess, which is translated as the Ice Princes.
Princes?
The Ice Princes.
Oh, I was going to difficult. Go Frozen, but that doesn't seem right.
The Ice Princes. What could it be? What could it be? I'm going to do some secret. People say, Simon Field said to me, he said there was dead air in the quizzes, so I'm going to not allow that.
Why don't we be quiet?
Well, no, because I'm going to sing this. What could it be? What could it be? I wonder what the film is. I wish someone would tell me.
Blades of Glory. I mean, it was niche.
You have got it!
No way!
Yes, it is Blades of Glory!
Fuck.
That it was great working out. Beth, you've got 4 out of 5 on the hardest film quiz in the entire history of humanity. You are leading. At home, did you get 4 out of 5? Or did you get 5 out of 5? No one really cares.
I hate you, Jean-Claude!
Jean-Claude was the one person standing between you and, I mean, the prize is immortality. So I don't know if you wanted that or not. If you're at home, you have done that. You are now immortal. Congratulations. Oh, well, Beth, thank you very much for doing the podcast and taking me to see Brigsby Bear. And I'm very pleased to say, that you will be joining me for the top 10 Christmas film rundown released just after Christmas on the 29th, when we talk about the 10 favourite films of the year. And that is what we're doing. All right.
Thank you for having me.
I guess we're at the end now. There's only one thing left to say. Keep watching the films.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.